Thank you, Steve. I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. We've been going through the Gospels this year called The Great Adventure. And normally, because it is the first of a new month, I would have started a new book. Would have been in Mark this time. But because of the switch up that came from Mother's Day, moved everything to just one more week. Largely because next week, a high school friend of Ryan's, Will Reed, will be here. He will do the preaching as well as he's going to talk a little bit and incorporate. They will be going to the South Sudan for mission work. And so he is going to, Ryan is actually going to be out of town all week to a graduation of Hope's brother. And so instead of Ryan preaching, he said, can I get somebody to come in? And so Will is going to be coming in. And then immediately following that, I'm going to preach from Mark, and the message, the theme will be change. And I know we all like change, so I hope that you will plan to be here for that. We have one person we'd like to add to the prayer list. Ann Duell asked that we add Leslie Hall. Her daughter-in-law has a shingles. She's 30 years old, which I know they can strike anybody, but my father-in-law had them one time, and he said they're the most painful thing he's ever had. So be praying for them, or for her. Would you read with me, please, Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6, and then I'm going to jump over to verse 15 and read to verse 20. Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your brother's or in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, and thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Would you please pray with me as we get started? Father, I want to pray for Leslie and ask that you will be with her as she struggles through the shingles. But I also want to pray for us this morning. We sang a song earlier, Let My Words Be Few. And each Sunday, before I preach, I pray that you will help me to step aside and that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. And sometimes I get in the way. Sometimes we all get in the way. But you have asked us to simply come to you and to seek you and to seek your face with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength. And sometimes that means our words have to be few. And so, Father, I pray that if there's anything that is extra today, that you will wipe it out and that my words will be few. Because the purpose for this message is not to beat a drum. The purpose of this message is not to criticize or to tear down somebody. The purpose of this message is to talk about what it means to be yours, to have the right kind of judgment, to be able to have discernment, to know what is right and what is wrong. Now, that's not easy. But I pray, Father, that you will speak to our hearts today. Help us to see how you want us to be in our relationships with others. You've asked us to stop criticizing, but to show discernment, and help us to do that. I pray that you will help us as we listen, that we'll have open hearts to hear what you have to say. And then I do pray that my words will be few, that you will help me to step aside, and that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. I would venture to say that there is nobody in this room who likes criticism. Am I correct? Even those constructive critics, we don't really like to hear, because most of the time their constructive criticism is nothing more than their own thoughts. I was reading, as I was studying, I heard about or read about a pastor who was criticized very sharply in his community because he supposedly went to a meeting his wife was attending and told her to leave the meeting, to get out. So to protect himself and to kind of counteract the gossip that was going on, he wrote this letter to the editor, and he said, "In the first place, I never attempted to influence my wife as to her choice of a meeting. In the second place, my wife didn't attend the meeting in question. In the third place, I did not intend to attend the meeting in question. In the fourth place, neither my wife nor myself had any inclination to attend the meeting. And in the fifth place, I do not now have, nor have I ever had, a wife." It's easy to be critical. It's easy for us to get to the point of thinking something bad about somebody else and criticizing them and to put them down. But it's also not unusual for those who follow Christ to hear the words, "Who do you think you are? You criticize, you tell me I can't do something, I can't live this way. Who do you think you are? The Bible says, judge not." And I want to look at them. The snarky part of me wants to say, "Oh, so you read the Bible, do you?" But the wiser part of me keeps my mouth shut and says, "Don't say a word. Let him move on." Because you see, there may not be a scripture more misused and more misunderstood than the one that we're going to talk about today. You see, there are two sides to a coin. We do need to stop criticism. We do need to stop criticizing each other. But at the same time, we need to show discernment as to what is right and what is wrong. And so that's where I want to be at this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about stopping the criticism. But I also want to talk to you about showing discernment about what is right and what is wrong. So let's start first of all by talking about stopping the criticism. Now, you read the scripture, and I would like you to keep your Bibles open, because we'll be in Matthew chapter 7 the whole time. Jesus says two words at the very start. What are they? "Judge not." And those are the words that are taken to mean, "Don't you dare tell me what I can and cannot do. Don't you dare tell me what I can and cannot say. Don't tell me how to live. Don't tell me what to say. Don't tell me what to do." But is that what Jesus is really saying? When he says, "Judge not," is that what he's really saying? Is he really saying that we should not have an opinion about something? And have you ever noticed in this age of tolerance that we live in, that people are tolerant until we disagree with them? And then suddenly the tolerance is intolerant. Well, that's the situation we find ourselves in as we go into here. Because, you see, when we talk about criticism, the real problem with criticism is its blindness. And the blindness, as you can see here, is not so much how can I put this? We are blind to our own faults. And we are wide open to the faults of other people. Am I right? When it comes to criticism, we are blind to our own faults, but we are wide open to the faults of other people. Jesus is not prohibiting a blanket, or he's not making a blanket prohibition against making judgments and having discernment. What he is against is self-centered pride. And if you read here, which we will do, and we'll tear this apart, if you read this scripture, you will see that Jesus is not so much against discernment and making judgment based on the discernment. He's against the self-centered pride that is so easy to see. If I was to summarize these verses, I would put it this way. Do not judge unless you are prepared to be judged by the same standard. And then, when you judge, do it with humility. But humility is hard to come by. It's really hard to have. Look at verse 5, if you would. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck of your brother's eye. Now, we don't understand biblical humor, but actually, Jesus was saying something funny. It doesn't make sense to us. But when Jesus gave this picture, the people there would have said, okay, I have a little splinter in my eye, but there's this big log coming out of someone else's eye or out of my own. You see, Jesus was being funny. But the truth is real. Before I criticize you for the speck that you have in your eye, I better get me a chainsaw and get the one out of my own. That's the picture that Jesus is saying. Get rid of the humongous log that's in your eye before you take the little speck, the little splinter, the toothpick out of somebody else's eye. And that's where our problem is, because you see, we are blind to our own faults, but we're real big on finding somebody else's faults. Now, there's three problems with that. Number one, it gives us an erroneous view of God. Verse 1, he says, judge not that you be not judged. Let me put it very bluntly, there is only one true judge. There is only one true judge. And when we assign condemnation and without mercy to somebody else because they don't think the way we think, they don't do the way we do, and they don't believe the way we believe, we are playing God. Number two, it's an erroneous view of others. Verse 2, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. The problem that we get into with criticism is this. We think we are superior. We think we're superior to somebody else. Now you say, well, not me. Yeah, you. Yeah, me. We get to thinking, well, I'm glad I don't do that. Where's that put you at? Here and they're there. You see, we tend to think that we are superior to somebody else. And basically, that's what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees took this religious attitude of, we are religious, we are righteous, and you are not, and because you are not with us, then you're nothing. But the third thing is, it also gives an erroneous view of ourselves. Verses 3 through 5, why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log that's in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's a big log in your own? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye. Whenever we put ourselves in God's place, things get out of whack. When we put ourselves in God's place, everything else gets out of whack. And so what we need to do is we need to take the log out of our own eye before we criticize and demean somebody else. Now, you're going to say, well, does that mean that I can't have an opinion? Well, no. Does that mean I can't have standards? Well, definitely not. Because here's the second part of the coin. First part of the coin was stop your criticizing. The second part of the coin is show discernment. Now, there's a cardinal rule in Bible study, and we've talked about it occasionally. There's a cardinal rule of Bible study, and that is this: always look at the context. Always look at the context. Let me show you some of the context surrounding this. Verse 6. Now, here, this shows you that we do have to have discernment. We do have to make judgments. Do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. But then let's move on, because what Jesus is about to say, leading into verse 15, is so important. Verse 13, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Now, here's the principle that you need to understand. Not all people who say they are Bible teachers or followers of God are Bible teachers and followers of God. That's hard to grasp, but it's true. Several months ago, I mentioned a man, and I know that many of you are new, so I'm going to tell you this story. There's a story of a man who, at the beginning of his career, was a preacher par excellence. He had the charisma. He had the ability to connect with people. They said he was actually better than his contemporary, his best friend. He was actually a better preacher than his best friend was. The man's name is Charles Templeton. In 2001, he died of Alzheimer's disease. But there came a point in Charles Templeton's life where he stopped believing the truth of the scriptures and began to doubt everything, so much to the point that he became an agnostic. Now, that's not an atheist. An agnostic will say, I will believe if you show it to me. An atheist says, I don't believe at all. But he became an agnostic. And he lived his life away from God. But he was a better preacher than his contemporary. He was a better evangelist than his contemporary. He had more charisma. He reached more people. But eventually, he fell apart. And the main reason he fell apart is because he did not have a personal faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, his contemporary, you might know him as Billy Graham. And the difference between the two was not because Billy Graham was the greatest preacher in the world, not because he had the greatest charisma in the world. The difference was Billy Graham had a personal faith in Jesus Christ, and Charles Templeton did not. There comes a point in time where we all have to make a decision of whom we will serve. It's kind of like what Peter was talking about with being the bondservant. We have to make a decision, whom will I serve? The scripture says, broad is the gate and wide is the road that leads to destruction. But it also says narrow is the gate and narrow is the road and few follow that leads to life. You see, there are going to be people whom we love and whom we know who are going to follow that wide road. But there are also going to be people whom we know and love who are on that narrow road. And that narrow road is the one we need to follow. The tragedy is that we like the wide one. When we get to heaven, we're not going to like hearing, I'm sorry, you didn't know my son. But I follow this teacher who said I could believe anything I wanted to believe. But I follow this teacher who said there were a whole lot of ways to get to God and Jesus wasn't the only way. Will you please tell me what John 14:6 says? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. It doesn't say I am a way, a truth, or a life. It says, I am the way. And so if a person stands before God and says, you know, I believe that Jesus is just one of the prophets. He was just one of the many. And there was a whole lot of different ways to God, and I could care. It really didn't matter. And God's going to say, I'm sorry, your name's not written down here. Because you see, it still comes down to this truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the narrow gate. That's the narrow way. And that's the hard way. You see, we are inundated with a whole bunch of garbage. We are inundated. We are flooded and overwhelmed with teachers on the TV and on the radio who tell us it doesn't matter what you believe. All you got to believe is to be happy. All you got to believe is in yourself. No, that's not true. Because it comes down to, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Now you're saying, well, that's awful judgmental. Well, no, not really. Look at verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You see, Jesus knew that we would be able to look at blatant stuff and say, oh no, I can't buy that stuff. If someone comes up to you and says, you know, if you follow me, you can have 7 virgins afterwards. I'm going to go, huh? And I'm going to know that's a lie. But if someone comes to me and says, you know, you don't really have to have Jesus only. God wants you healthy. God wants you wealthy. And all you got to do is ask for whatever you want. He's going to give it to you. Well, you know, God never promised me health and wealth. What he did promise me was a cross and a sword. Big difference. And so we are called on to be discerning. Because you see, there will be people who will come in and they'll look like sheep. But what he says is deep inside, they are ravenous wolves. Now there are 2 measuring sticks to be discerning. And this is where we need to get to. What do we do? How do we make the right decision? Who do we follow? There are 2 measuring sticks. Number 1 is character. Check out their motives, their standards, their attitudes, their loyalties, their ambitions. John the Baptizer said to bring forth fruit keeping with repentance. Look at this scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1. And these are the fruits. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly kindness, and brotherly affection or kindness with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the fruits. You add those to your life. And as you add those to your life, you become real. You become genuine. And if you look at somebody and they call themselves a religious teacher or a Bible teacher, and they are nothing more than being ambitious, and they are nothing more than trying to get all your money, and they are living lives that do not add up, you cut them off. You don't cut off their head, but you cut yourself off from them, saying, I won't listen to that junk anymore. I'm going to listen to the truth. Sorry, I didn't mean to. That did sound kind of bad, didn't it? There's a second thing, second measuring stick, and that's the creed. And what I mean by that is, what do they believe? What do they believe? Now, you should not, I'm going to say this, you should not believe what everyone says without testing it first. I don't expect you to believe everything I say without testing it from the scriptures. If I say something and you go, Ooh, that doesn't sound right. You better check it out. There are two questions I think that are important. What do you believe and why do you believe it? What do you believe and why do you believe it? And if you can answer those questions, you're on the road to being solid. Now, I'm going to say this, and I hope you understand, but the number one reason the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses are growing faster than any other cult or religious group is because, get this, they are grabbing people who grew up in the church, and they don't know this. And they are getting these people who have had the Bible, they've grown up in the church for years and years and years, and they're coming along and they're having these Bible studies with them, and the people don't know what to say, they don't know what to do, they don't know what they believe, and so this sounds good, so I'm going to follow after that. You've got to know what you believe, you've got to know why you believe it, and the only way we can do that is we've got to know this book. I'm not sure how you guys have felt about going through the Gospels, but this has been the richest thing I've ever done in my entire life, is spending time with Jesus. Rereading the Gospels every 4 months. Started Mark again today. But just to spend time with Jesus to find out what He said has made a world of difference in how I see things and how I look at things and my own attitude. And I want to challenge you again. If you haven't already done so, start reading the Gospels again. Start with Mark. It's June 1st. Start with Mark. Next month, go to Luke. And by the end of the year, you will have read it through at least twice if you start now. Just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But you see, here's the principle. What we need to understand is we need to stop the criticism. Unfounded criticism based on our own self-righteous pride. The criticism that looks at you and says, you're not worth it. You know what? I get tired of hearing that. I am worth it. Because God made me who I am. He made me tall. He made me bald. And I'm okay with that. He may have made you short and full of hair. He may have made you skinny. He may have made you larger. He may have made you whatever. But He has made you. So it's time we stop criticizing based on our own self-righteousness. But what it's time to also do is to show discernment. To stand up. And not just say, well, they said it was okay to live this certain lifestyle, and I guess it's okay. No, it's not okay. You need to know what this book says. You need to know what to believe and why you believe it. And you need to have standards and values based on this book. Not on how you feel, not on what someone else thinks or says, but on this book. And then you can stand. And then you can be solid. And then you can make radical judgment based on discernment and a heart that says, I'm not going to criticize you because of who you are, but I have to make a choice as to my values and my judgments and my standards. And my standards are based on this. So that's my challenge. Stop the criticism. Stop the criticism and show discernment. Let's pray. And Father, we thank You for this day. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the power that's in that word, and I pray that my words were few enough. Because my words don't have the power Your word does. I thank You for the truth that's there. I thank You for the fact that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father. He's really made it easy. Come to Him. Now, after that, though, comes the cross and the sword. But he has said, come to me. And I don't know if there's somebody here today who has never come to know Jesus as their Savior. I pray that today will be that day. But I also pray for those in this room who are followers of Christ. Help us to stop the criticism of each other. And help us to begin to build up and encourage. But also help us to have standards that come from discerning the Word, from knowing right from wrong, and knowing what your Word has to say. Thank you for your truth. And help us to base our lives upon that and that alone. And fathers, we give you glory through this song. Help each one of us to take a look inside and realize we have nothing to brag about, nothing to be proud about. The self-centered pride has to break down, and that we simply are your servants. Help us to give you majesty. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing this song, Majesty?